This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Yes, I'm guilty. I put a tape on last week. I know. I had to, though. I was busy. Josh Hancock joining us, the man behind the cars in film and television. He is the guy that matches the car up with the TV show in Hollywood there. JoshCar.com. What's going on, bro?
Wait. Here I have notes. The first note is, give Alan some guff about tape last week.
Yeah,
so then you come out to try to defuse it by saying, oh, I'm sorry, I did a tape last week. What is up with that?
Excuse me, there was no apology there. I just said, okay. Yes, I'm guilty.
I'd also, excuse me, Motor Trend Live stage at Barrett. Motor Trend Live stage at Barrett Jackson is what it's called. And I'm like looking at it going, oh, yeah, I love that he gave me such notice about this.
Well, you weren't invited. No, you know what? I told him, I said, I wish my buddy Josh was here. And this all happened at the last minute for a lot of people, just to bring everybody up to speed. So you go, all right, Motor Trend magazine. Yes. Well, in the world that we live in today, we live in this kind of all things internet, the world of the connected everything and
digital
world. And like things are changing. So all of a sudden, Discovery Networks, that owns Velocity Channel, that broadcasts Barrett Jackson, where I was, where this live stage was, they bought all the digital assets from 10, the Enthusiast Network.
I was going to ask you, doesn't that mean all their digital assets?
Well, 10 is the Enthusiast Network, which owns Motor Trend and Hot Rod and all these different, iconic car magazines.
Oh, so they bought the Motor Trend.
They bought Motor Trend On Demand, which is the, there's TV shows there that are online TV shows, you might say.
Right.
On Demand. They're, what is it? A Roadkill. Dirt Every Day is for the off-roaders world. There's Head to Head. All these great car shows that are made by Motor Trend and Hot Rod and all these great brands that they have. And those digital assets are a huge asset in the world of video stuff and television. And because more and more young people are watching TV on their second screen experience, you might say, whether it be your smartphone or your pad, your iPad, whatever you want to call it, mobile device, this is an interesting thing that happened. So at the very kind of last minute, they decided to call the live stage that we're doing, which is, okay, there's the Barrett Jackson is, 40 hours of live television on Velocity. The cars all get sold across the auction block, and then they go to their owners. Well, now, because of last year, we started this in a bigger way, but now this year it was called the Motor Trend Live Stage at Barrett Jackson. So after the car gets sold across the auction block, it turns a corner and it comes into another staging area where it is actually on a stage. You can watch it at BarrettJackson.com, or you can watch it, I'm pretty sure, at MotorTrendOnDemand.com, because that was the whole purpose of all this, is to give a second screen experience. Then what we do is we had experts like you, Josh, but you were nowhere to be found. I called you six times. I don't know what happened, but we settled with a few other guys that know what they're talking about. Anyway... And then we talk about the car. What did it sell for? What makes it unique? Why is this car trending up if it brought a lot of money? My assessment would have been, if you said to me, what was the trending thing you saw at Barrett Jackson? The year of the truck. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that matches the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. It was the year of the truck as well.
Interesting. Interesting.
But to your point, so what you've seen is these values on, quote, classic trucks. The trucks that we drove to high school are really coming up.
Big time. Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm standing in front of trucks that sold for $100,000. This is like, wait a minute, it's a 72, whatever it is. It's like, what? $100,000? So all I can say is the numbers were impressive. But the craftsmanship and workmanship that they've done to these vehicles was the most impressive part of the whole thing. And you can spend today $100,000. Like some of them, it was like I'm reading I'm reading the information on it, and it says comes with $100,000 worth of receipts. We car guys are completely insane when it comes to our cars and trucks.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing very quickly? If you would ask me if shows like this around Bear Jackson were going to captivate people, if you'd asked me that 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I would have said no. And look where we are today.
I know. 40 hours of live coverage.
Amazing. And I love it.
And I was on that stage 8 hours a day. And you're wondering, why did I put a tape on? 8 hours a day, live coverage from Barrett Jackson. And then I had to do 2 symposiums in the morning. So my days were like 20 hours long. We're going to take a break. Josh Hancock joining us, Hollywood car consultant. He is the man behind the cars and all things film and television. JoshCarr.com, you can find him. If you're making a movie, look him up. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. I'm good at repairs
and I'm under. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, thanks to all our radio stations all around the country and all of our podcast listeners all around the world. My buddy Jonathan in London, England, constantly talking to me on Facebook. Oh, yeah, you can check out my Facebook page, The Drive with Alan Taylor. Photos of all the stuff we did at Barrett Jackson last week. The Drive, you got to do the whole thing. The Drive with Alan Taylor. I'm wearing a red race suit, smiling a big toothy grin. And yes, I whiten my teeth on, one of those stupid apps. Josh Hancock.
Did anybody mistake you for a red truck, possibly a fire truck?
I'll tell you what, there was one red truck that was so awesome, and there's a picture of it up on my Facebook. There was so many awesome vehicles. There was a lot of star power there, I got to tell you, to a president of the United States, not the current
one. Yeah, I mean, you've got most star power in cars and in individuals.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the cars for a minute. First Ford GT. A new Ford GT to go across the block.
$2.5 million. But
amazing.
There's this little story behind that. Whenever there's a charity involved, and the charity was really a cool one. It was Ray Evernham's charity. You know, he has an autistic son that's on the spectrum of autism. And I was
with you when we interviewed him at SEMA.
Right. Now, he, the night before, became inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame. He got up on the stage in our second screen experience at the Motor Trend Live stage, and I said, "So, Ray, $2.5 million, what do you think?" And he goes, "I'm speechless." And I'm telling you, he was truly speechless. I'm like, really? No, he was speechless. So Rajneer is the president of Ford Motor Company North America was on stage. Craig Jackson was on stage. Chip Ganassi was on stage. Chip Ganassi Racing is the team owner that won the Le Mans race, 50th anniversary. This was amazing. I'm telling you, Ray Evernham, a NASCAR Hall of Famer who is never a lack of words, couldn't hardly speak. So I went to all these guys, and I went back to him after a couple of minutes of him just being in total disbelief. $2.5 million. I said, "What's this going to do for the charity?" It's a game changer. It's literally a huge game. It's going to save lives. It's going to help lives. I love doing that stuff.
Right. Now, here's the other thing. We've seen the 06 Ford GT, the first iteration that they did after the original car. We've seen that in the marketplace. We see what it can do. Obviously, this says something, regardless of the charity, when somebody's really willing to pay that much money for this automobile. They're so limited in supply, and people want them. And there's, here in Hollywood, there's so many people that want them that can't get them.
Well,
it makes them very, very precious.
Well, here's the thing. You can't get them. There's 6,500 people that put their name in the hat to buy this $500,000 car called a Ford GT. Okay? 6,500. They're only making 1,000 cars. They're 500 grand each. So if you really, 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 really want one, you either buy one and all the money goes to charity. Like, I think the guy was the, I think the guy who bought it was the owner of the Utah Jazz. And I'm probably wrong, but he was the, you know, big sports team. So yeah, he wanted it. And
so,
it was pretty cool.
Tom, you know, I'm thoroughly excited about the new Bullitt Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
I drive a Mustang. I love Mustangs. I was surprised at that car. I mean, maybe is that because that charity isn't, wasn't that strong? But I didn't think $300,000 was much money for that car.
Well, let me bring everybody up to speed. Of course, they found the original Bullitt Mustang from the movie Bullitt.
Right.
And it's in original condition. And they showed it when they brought out the 50th anniversary Bullitt Mustang.
Which was a brilliant move.
Yeah,
brilliant
no question. Move. And so there it is, unrestored, little rust on the edge of the bumpers. There was Chad McQueen here at Barrett Jackson. When they showed it in Detroit, Steve McQueen's granddaughter, so Chad's sister's daughter, was there to unveil it. We'll talk on the other side, but yes.
She did a little video with the car that mimicked the chase in Bullitt.
Right,
I mean, it was well done.
Yeah.
They really did it.
Yeah, we're going to talk on the other side about this Bullitt Mustang, what it sold for, and the charity. You're listening to The Drive.
I want one.
Goodbye. Be right back.
I'm getting one.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Craftsman is celebrating over 90 years of innovation. Since 1927, they've put hardworking tools into the hands of makers and mechanics. I've had Craftsman tools in my garage for decades, so I know firsthand that Craftsman comprehensive automotive tools and garage storage solutions will help you tackle your next project with confidence, whether you be a shade tree mechanic or a certified pro. So visit your local Ace Hardware or check out Craftsman.com to shop the latest hand tools, power tools, lawn and garden equipment, smart products, storage solutions, and a whole lot more. That's Craftsman.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And we're here talking with Josh Hancock, my buddy, my pal, about Barrett Jackson and some of the cars that sold. Some of the charity cars brought some huge money. A Ford GT for Ray Evernham's foundation, $2.5 million. Bush 43 was there, President of the United States 43. Pretty
now
cool.
He signed a Corvette, right?
Yeah, there was a Corvette sold for $1.4 million, and I mean, I think that's probably a first that a you know, President of the United States got up on stage to auction off a car, but it was to the George Bush Foundation.
It's his cause.
Yeah, it was his cause. And Jay Leno was there with him, too.
Yeah.
Tim Allen was there, ran into Tim Allen, all the Gas Monkey Garage guys from Fast and Loud, whatever it is they do. Anyway, we were talking about Steve McQueen and the Bullitt Mustang.
Bullitt Mustang, which
Number one, 50th anniversary car.
I think it's great. I'm glad they reissued the car. I'm going to find out how many they're going to build. I'm going to put my name on one.
Yep.
I kind of want that car.
The charity,
and,
by the way, if for those who don't know, the charity was called Boys Republic in Chino Hills, California. And they do, it's where Steve McQueen went to school as a boy. They do a charity car show in June every year, of which I've been threatening to go for years, but it always lands on top of something else I'm doing. I told Chad McQueen, who was there at Barrett Jackson with his two children. He's, by the way, Chad McQueen's like 5'9". He's got like a 6'5" kid, young man, 22 years old. Anyway, boysrepublic.org, if you want to find out more about it. It's a pretty cool thing. 300 grand for a Mustang is a pretty tall number, but, you know, it didn't bring as much as these other cars, a million, four,
car,
two and a half.
Limited run.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the Corvette brought so much money, but then you've got a president signing it,
right.
And the cause is veterans, so
and,
I understand
and
that.
And remember, this came with a golf game with George W. Bush.
Well, there you go.
And that might have been $1 million all by itself to somebody.
You know,
you never know, right?
There you go.
Anyway, but...
So, can I give you some movie car news?
Yeah, okay. So, that's perhaps... I'll talk to the other folks about it. You're obviously bored of my conversation about Barrett Jackson. Thank you.
What other automobiles...
Here, you hear this? Hold on. This is me throwing my notes away because you don't care. I don't care. If it's over, it's over. I'm going to give you one more.
Tell me about another charity car. We had the Ford GT. We had the Corvette, the Mustang. Is there another one?
Okay, fair enough. There was a log that had two jets on it. It was honestly, you guys are like, what? Yes, it was a log that had been carved out, and they made it into a log car, like a log ride at Disneyland or wherever they have those, the log jammer ride. And it had two jet engines, and it was then those jet engines actually charged these little small jets, charged the batteries, because it was an electric car. And this car sold first for $175,000 for a log. It's not a car. I mean, it is a car, but it's not a car. It's like a display thing. And it actually did drive. He drove it up on the stage and drove it into my place. So it sold for $175,000 for a jet-powered log. And then the man donated it directly back and said, sell it again.
Oh, my God.
And everybody's like, what? So they sold it again. The second time it sold for $100,000. Now they've raised $275,000.
Wow.
And then the second guy says, sell it again.
Oh,
and
my God.
So, you should
nobody wants a log car, by the way.
Jet-powered log. It's about the charity, of course. And then the third guy pays $75,000 for it. So with a jet-powered log, they raise $350,000 at Barrett Jackson. And I'll finish with this because I'm going to have to give you a whole other segment because I've taken it all up talking about me.
Well, and I do know the name of the gentleman that bought that log car. His last name was Flintstone.
Right, nicely done. But here's the beauty of it all, you guys. I mean, the reason why we're talking about this is Barrett Jackson allows you to sign the check directly to the charity. They don't take 1 cent. And at Barrett Jackson, with the $2.5 million car that was sold, the GT, they went over the top of raising over $100 million for charities in the last number of years that they've been doing these charity cars like this. $100 million. And you got to say hats off to Barrett Jackson and the whole car community that got together, and they dig deep when they believe in these charities. And let me just tell you, Craig Jackson gets up on stage, and I think it was the log car that they sold. Was the charity was for like American Cancer Foundation or something. Don't hold me to this, but it was a cancer charity and a big one. And Craig was standing there literally crying because, you know, he lost his father, his brother, and his mother to cancer, and he had cancer himself. So to be able to raise, you know, money in the way that they do, it was so touching to watch him stand there and cry and try his best to talk. And, you know, no matter what you say about people, the fact that he's been given this platform called Barrett Jackson, he will always be remembered for raising huge amounts of money. And they're just getting going. As far as I'm concerned, you know, that happened twice. There was a couple of cars that got just handed right back and said, sell it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I can say is God bless him and his family and all the people that were involved with that. I just think that was absolutely awesome and phenomenal. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you your own segment next. Talk about your movie cars. I know you got
talking much.
You got
Am I really
going
to get to talk?
You got to talk. I know. Well, you know what happens. I'm Alan Taylor. He's Josh Hancock. This is The Drive. We'll be right back with more Josh. Be right back.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485-horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car, at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone. Josh Hancock is here. JoshCar.com. He is the man in all things film and television when it comes to cars. JoshCar.com. So, Josh, in all things film and television, what do you got for us? What
Ant-Man? I don't really have anything.
Okay, well, thanks for being on the show. We'll talk to you later.
It was announced that, you know, these superhero movies, the one thing that they're doing is they're really collecting some big bucks from the car companies.
I'll bet.
And it's funny because these cars don't always integrate well. I'm going to talk about it next week with them, but Hyundai has paid some money to put a Veloster into Ant-Man, the next Ant-Man movie.
Can I ask you a question? Does it look like a giant anteater? Did they do any modifications?
What's funny is, it is purple with red flames and huge side pipes. And it's very retro. I don't quite get it, but I don't know the context. But, you know, look.
Well, it's a cartoon movie.
Yes, and good for Hyundai. I love to see this participation when it's fun. I love to see the car companies working with movies when it works.
Right.
You know?
Now, wait a minute. I said something that is really not correct. I mean, it's a cartoon-derived movie that is not a cartoon. It's actually
live action.
Live action.
It is live action.
Okay.
And as we know, and I always preface these conversations with, look, I spend a lot of time protecting directors from product placement and product integration, because creatively it doesn't work. And then when it does work, I turn around and I'm the one that helps make that deal. So it goes both ways. I don't like to be known as a product placement person because I'm really not. I am a creative person in helping people find the right car for the character, as you like to often say.
Right.
That said, the script and book called Go Like Hell, which is about the Henry Ford II versus Enzo Ferrari and the wars around Le Mans. It's a great book. This has been in play in Hollywood for 12 years, and it's coming back around.
Wow.
And I'm holding my breath because they're trying to cast it right now. And if they do cast it and get a green light, I will be the first one to say that on the radio on your show.
Okay. But what about the movie Enzo? Weren't they going to make a movie Enzo, or is this part of that?
This is not part of that. There are several projects out there, but not based on this book called Go Like Hell.
Right.
And I should have the author's name on the tip of my tongue.
You know what? I think I have a copy of that. Weren't they giving that out years ago? I remember that.
Yeah. And also, there is a documentary that your friend made about this. Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's called Alzheimer's? Goodness gracious.
It's called Ginkgo Biloba.
With a little mayonnaise and a piece of cheese, a bologna, biloba sandwich.
That, but, you know, let me tell you, in the past years, Brad Pitt was attached to the film at one time.
Which one, Enzo?
Go Like Hell.
Okay, just checking.
He was attached to be Shelby. And then Tom Cruise was attached. I'm talking 12 years.
Right.
I've been to so many meetings about this movie. And now there's a director who's going to do it and really focus on the interpersonal relationships. It's a fascinating story. You have these two titans of industry. And I think anybody could relate to this film. You don't have to be a car person if they do it right.
Right. Mm. Well, that's important. So, you know why? Because what happens
huge.
Is if the film is good, it turns people who were not car people into car people because now they know a little bit more about some of the history, and then they start buying the things.
And, you know, here's the thing. It's a great American story, too, because the Americans had never played in the big leagues in big-time racing. The 24-hour of Le Mans, you know, is an endurance race. They never had a car in it, and Ford said he wanted to win it, and he did.
Well, remember, he did that because Ferrari wouldn't sell Ferrari to Ford.
You know, they were so close on signing that deal. And from the book, you know, one of the problems was that Ford sent over 500 people to start the integration.
Yeah.
Ed Ferrari hated that. He said, I can't sell to Ford Motor Company. It's a great story. Anyway, let's hope that I'm announcing that very soon.
That'd be awesome.
I have had a meeting on John Wick 3. I met with a director on John Wick 3. I cannot say a thing about it. All I can say is that's an exciting car movie. You know,
okay.
If you have seen John Wick 1 or John Wick 2, you know that those chases and Chad Stahelski, who is the director, came from the stunt world. And that's why this movie is so exciting. The stunts and the car stunts are unparalleled. Oh, they're really nice. Good.
What about Shaq? I heard rumors he's doing something.
Only because I told you.
Okay, well, that's the rumor I heard. What do you want to do? Trying to tee you up here.
No,
softball.
I know you are.
God.
I know you are. Shaq is buying, and they're customizing a car that was made famous in the movies. And that movie was Suicide Squad, and it was the Joker's car. And nobody knew what that car was. And it's called a Vader. And the Vader is actually a kit. And it's created and designed by a guy named Michael Ektengard. And it's built by a few shops if you want it built for you. What I love about this body kit, it's fiberglass. It fits over a Infiniti G35. And
that's an odd fit.
You know, it looks like a $300,000 car. It's very impressive. And for some reason, Shaq has decided he wants one of these. So this company called Custom Crafted Cars in St. Petersburg, Florida, who assembles these kits, is now adjusting this car for Shaq. And what I love, you know, Shaq is 7'1 and 350 pounds.
Right.
Hello.
I'm 5 foot fat and 350 pounds. So
well, I was going to say, he's got your weight, but he's got you on height.
2 feet.
which is... You know, you in the Demon, you've bought a new Demon.
Yeah.
It's the only Demon that can't make the numbers.
By the way, that is not true. I want you to know I've done a 3.6 0 to 60 already, which is
really?
Not hard, being that it's a 2.3. And they say if you have a little bit of a roll, you can do a 2.1 0 to 60.
Wow.
Fastest production car in the world. What an amazing machine. All I can say is please drive one soon, Josh, so you can go, Alan, you got the best car on earth. That's all I can say.
Well.
Oh, geez. All right, hey, listen.
I have to say,
yes.
Immediately, you taking it and doing a vehicle, doing the donuts.
Yeah.
Your first video. You know, meantime, Carl Brower had it as a press car, and he's breaking it in. And,
know.
You know, meantime, you're like, I'll break it in.
Yeah. Yeah, I did get a call. I want you to know I got a call from the president of General Motors. No, well, yeah, from General Motors called me and told me. No, president of Dodge, yeah. He says to me, I'm going to void your warranty. I said, go ahead. I bought a 96-month extended warranty. Oh, you know what that car does, though, Josh?
Wow, I feel good.
That's what it does. All right, I got to take another break, and then Stephen Cole Smith is on hold.
All right.
We're going to talk about racing. You did a great job. Thank you, my friend.
Always a pleasure.
Please let us know. Hollywood is calling. All right. Josh
Thank
Hancock,
you,
joshcar.com. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, I am now going to have a chance to talk to my pal, Stephen Cole Smith, one of the best automotive journalists, motorsports writers in the industry. And I don't know, it seems like Daytona 24 Hours is going on. You were at the Detroit Auto Show. I was, too. I was like a lightning bolt in and out, and there wasn't much going on there. Hi, Steve.
Alan, I'm glad you're okay, man. I was worried about you.
Why?
There was, there's only been like 3 Facebook posts today about your Demon instead of your normal 8 or 10. So I was afraid something happened to you or your Dodge, man. It was like you know, like just demon-free zone almost on Facebook. So I figured I didn't even know if he were still breathing. I figured if there were, he would still be posting about that demon.
You know what? I signed something saying I wouldn't drive it in the rain, and it's been raining up here, and the slick tires are not so great for the rain. But truthfully, I've been driving it in the rain, and I had to drive it, you know, through a couple of states in some rain. It actually does considerably well, considering they're racing slicks, you know? It's amazing.
They really are. I mean, you ought to think about having some little more all-season rubber on hand if you're going to drive it in the neighborhood you're living in. But
right. That
is, I mean, those tires do, you know, they do have tread on them. They're okay. I mean, I sure wouldn't want anything icy around because
even just
a regular summer tire, you know, is pretty miserable. But, you know, that car is just, it is an amazing car. It's got all the electronic things that make it easier to drive on the racetrack, make it easier to drive on the street.
Yeah.
So I don't blame you, man. I told them when I got it, I said, if I had this car, I would drive it every day. And they looked at me like I was crazy. You're not supposed to drive that car every day. So I'm glad to see that you and I are at least on the same page. I've for the Daytona this weekend, I've got your poor relation, a Dodge Hellcat Charger. So I feel underpowered, absolutely, you know, low on horsepower when I talk to you or read your Facebook post. So I hope you can start cranking them back up again because I miss them.
I will. And by the way, I put it in the rain. I put it in eco mode, which drops it to like 500 horsepower. You know, I mean, it's only 808 with normal pump gas. You can't get to 840 without doing a bunch of stuff. But good Lord, that's a wonderful machine. That's all I can say.
Well, I would. There's racing gas just up the road from where I am, and I would be making that trip regularly to get the 100 octane up there. Just because if it says 840, I want 840. I don't want to mess with anything less than that.
Well, I'm 3,000 miles already in 3 weeks, and been through.
That's got to be the highest mile demon in the world right now.
I know.
It's only supposed to go a quarter mile at a time.
Exactly. I'm let's see, 7 or 8 states that I've been through. Driving it like a maniac all the way, having fun. And then guess what? When you want to just go down to the store and get the gallon of milk, it's the most civilized thing. It's just like driving a normal Challenger.
Yeah, that's
wonderful.
The way these Hellcats are. I mean, this Dodge Charger, I mean, it's just like you said. It's if you don't want to go fast, you don't have to. It just idles along and you know, just will carpool or do anything you want it to do. But when you press accelerator, you know, it turns from basically a 3.6 liter V6 charger, you know, just a nice economical car into a monster. And I like monsters, so more power to them. It was still amazing to, you know, the Detroit show, which was maybe the least, and I don't know, notable, least exciting Detroit show I've been to for quite a while.
Right?
That still the Chryslers, you know, with the demons and the Hellcats were still getting a heck of a lot of attention over there. And that car is, you know, dates back to basically 2006. So what they've done with that car, the way they've updated it, man, my hat's off to them.
Well, and, you know, the Barrett-Jackson auction, there was a brand new black demon, Dodge Demon, just like mine, went across the auction block. And with fees and everything, $159,500.
Wow.
Yeah. Carl only has an $89,000 window sticker. I think Carl's was $91,000 because he got something else. But this car is perhaps the most desired car right now for gearhead, musclehead kind of guys and muscle car kind of guys. And I think there's even a lot of gals out there that would love to own one of these things. This is the most horsepower you can get from a manufacturer. It is the fastest car in the world right now as far as from a manufacturer. It's the only one that pops a wheelie, 2.3 seconds, 0 to 60, 840 horsepower, like we were talking, 770 pound-feet of torque. It's just a monster. And the reason why, that's the second one that's broke $150,000 with fees across the auction block. I think, and I said to the president of Dodge, I said, you need to make more of these. He says, no. He says, we're making just enough, 3,300 worldwide. And I'm kind of happy. I got serial number 8, as you know. I think the car is going to hold its value. And but yeah, you were talking about the Detroit Auto Show. The only thing that was kind of big there, in my opinion, was the Ford Ranger coming back. Other than that, it was
that's the first thing that comes to mind. Of course, they've been building that Ranger in other parts of the world for years,
right?
And they probably should have never stopped building the Ranger, but the Ranger with a loaded Ranger was so close to the price of a fairly base model F-150 that not that many people were interested in. The Ranger was an ancient truck. It was narrow. It was little. They didn't want to update it, although they did obviously find the money to update it in the rest of the world. And yeah. I thought it presented really well. I thought it was a very good-looking truck. I still want to see what the actual price out the door is and whether or not they can price it below the F-150 to the point where it's worth getting something smaller and paying quite a bit less for it. If you can get a Ranger within $150 or $1,500 of an F-150, I'm not sure it's going to do that well because this is not the old Ranger, which is going to be sold in fleets and, you know, sold to the darling of the horticulture class as they're trying to, mow your yard.
Hold tight. I got to take a break. Yeah, the Ranger was, it seemed like that was the hit of the show. I'll take a little break. Come back and talk more about Daytona 24 hours right after this. Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. With Haynes Manual Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes online manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Talking with my friend Stephen Cole Smith. You can find him in Auto Week, Automobile, and a whole bunch of other places. One of the best automotive journalists and motorsports journalists in the industry. Sorry for cutting you off there, Steve. We're getting run over by a commercial break, but you have five minutes.
I was just talking about how I think if there's a real market in the automotive industry right now, it's for a small, inexpensive truck, and there are none. So I don't know if the Indians or the Chinese or somebody wants to step into that market, but if you can come up with a really good, solid little $20,000-$22,000 pickup truck with air conditioning, I think you'd sell a bunch of them right now.
Well, and you know, what is it, the Canyon and the Colorado from Chevy and GMC are, I think they're quite a bit more than that.
They need $20,000.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. All right, the 24 hours of Daytona is upon us. I'm sure you're heading over there right after the show here. What's going to be the big news out there?
Well, there's two big news areas. Well, actually three. The fact that they're down to three classes now. They had four. Prototype Challenge sort of ran its course. So all we have now is Prototype, which is the one that looks like a real race car, and two GT categories, one GT Le Mans and one GT Daytona, which look pretty much exactly alike, but the GT Le Mans cars are a little bit quicker. There's no changes there, really, except a new BMW. Quite a few changes in GT Daytona. A lot of new GT3 class cars. There's a couple of new Mercedes. There's a lot of cars that have debuted last year that are really supposed to come into their own this year. But the big news is in the prototype, the top of the class, we've got 20 cars out there, four different engine manufacturers. The big news, Acura and Roger Penske have now joined the series. And Penske, of course, brought over some big names like Juan Montoya and Helio Castroneves from the IndyCar series to run full-time in sports cars this year.
Wow, that is interesting, isn't it? I saw Roger in Detroit.
Roger has been wanting to go to Le Mans for a long time, and even though these cars aren't really eligible for Le Mans yet, they probably will be about 2020. That's one thing he hasn't won yet. So I think that's what really got Roger interested in coming back to sports car racing.
Mm. Hey, let me ask you a change of subject. It just hit me. A friend of mine calls me the other day, and he goes, "Hey, you ought to check out what Danica Patrick's doing now that she's out of NASCAR." I said, "What's that?" Yep. He says, "She's got like five startup companies." Is she going to do any racing?
The only racing she's doing, she was talking about doing Daytona and Indy, and then that fell apart because she couldn't find sponsorship. And then GoDaddy stepped up and said, "Well, we'll sponsor you. So once you've got the sponsorship, you can find a car." She's already got a car for Daytona, although it's not a very competitive car. It's a kind of a startup company that does have a charter, so she will be in the race. But It really doesn't have a lot of track record under it, even though there's some pretty good people there. She doesn't have an IndyCar yet, but she will. But, yeah, she's got a lot of stuff going. She's got a new TV show. She's got a book. She's got all kinds of stuff going on. And I imagine this, in fact, she'll be doing Daytona, and Indy will kind of launch that. Plus, she's dating, what's his name, Aaron, the quarterback. I don't want to get him confused with Aaron that killed people, but you see, he's Green Bay's quarterback. You would know these things.
No, but I'm not a big sports
Aaron Rodgers,
guy.
Aaron Rodgers, is that him?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's her new boyfriend, since she kicked the other boyfriend to the curb, who was a NASCAR racer, Ricky Stenhouse.
You remember I interviewed her about 5 years ago on stage, and nobody bothered telling me that she had just announced she was getting a divorce. And so, you know me, after I ask all the normal questions, I go, so, gonna have any kids? Cause you know, she's married, right? And she looks at me like, are you kidding? But, you know, I didn't know that she had just announced that she didn't want any questions asked about it. And if a look could kill, I'm pretty sure the set behind me caught on fire. Anyway, so.
Yeah, she was married to her trainer, who was about, I think, 11 or 12 years older than her. She dumped him for Ricky Stenhouse, and they were a hot couple up until last November when they broke up. And some people said, including TMZ, that it was because he wasn't ready to get married. So, you know, she is not a party girl. She doesn't, you don't hear about her being out there, you know, in the red carpet and doing much of anything else. She's a home girl, always has been. Imagine she has saved her money pretty well, so I don't think she needs the money from any sugar daddy. So I think she probably wants to be, you know, a little bit of a housewife for a while, even though she's got all this stuff going on. And I got to think that biological clock is ticking if she wants to have kids.
Well, Stephen Cole Smith, you're the best. Have fun out there, the Daytona 24 Hours, and driving that Hellcat.
Read about it in an automobile. I mean, an Autoweek.
Automobile. Okay, very good. Listen, keep in touch, please, and I look forward to seeing you on the road somewhere.
Good talk to you, Alan. Take care, buddy.
Stephen Cole Smith, everybody, Autoweek and Automobile Magazine, my friend, and this is The Drive. We'll be back after the news for another hour. See you then.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome aboard all our radio station affiliates and podcasters and people that listen from wherever you listen. This is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Joining me right now is BJ Colleen. We are both just back from Detroit and me from Scottsdale. The weather was a little better in Scottsdale, I must tell you, BJ.
That's not hard to accomplish. It was so freaking cold there.
It was terrible. But see, you're in Vegas where the weather's pretty darn nice too. But I honestly, it was zero when I was in Detroit, zero. And I thought to myself, you know, what in the world? This is like being on the dark side of the moon. And the auto show felt that way too, if you want to know the truth.
Why do you think that?
It just seemed like very lackluster. It was like a half a day show. They're normally like good 2 days worth. Yes. And there was like the Ranger. The Ranger was, to me, kind of the big thing of the show. The Chevy truck that everybody in the auto industry has already seen, because they kind of did this big to-do for the auto journalists a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks ago, whatever it was. And the Mustang Bullitt, I mean, it's awesome. It was wonderful. But it's a Mustang with a, you know, appearance package and stuff. Yep. So I don't know. A Volkswagen Jetta doesn't look a whole lot different. I mean, a little bit of refresh. But there just wasn't any really big, exciting news, unless I missed something. Did I miss anything?
No, I was kind of hoping this is where they were going to show the much-awaited mid-engine Corvette, but they didn't do it. They showed the trucks, and, you know, that's good because the trucks were a big part of the show, you know, with the new Ram 1500 and the obviously the new Ranger everybody's been waiting for and the new Silverado. And, you know, but there were just some bizarre stuff, and I agree with you. It's not like it was a big newsy show, even though there were a lot of new cars there. I think that the vehicles today, because we're heading toward autonomy, that I think that it's just getting kind of, okay, they're there. And there's no real big concept vehicles anymore because they can't afford to do that. And it just kind of was sad. Maybe the Lexus LF1 Limitless was kind of cool. It was a little concept crossover, which was neat, but it still was like a truck. And the new Avalon, I don't like the way the Avalon looks in front. It's got a very four-seat big grill. And, you know, I think I agree with you, and I think a lot of people also agree with that assessment, Alan. It's a pretty fair assessment. It's kind of not what they used to be, is it?
Well, and I think, too, it could have been a pie in the face to the North American International Auto Show. The automakers on Saturday and Sunday before the auto show were having their own private get-togethers with the journalists and showing them their cars off-site. And I don't know whether that's a pie in the face. Is that, you know, trying to tell them, hey, you're charging too much? Or, I don't know. Everybody's kind of thinking out of the box, out of the Detroit Auto Show into their own little box private kind of party. But I was at the New York Auto Show or the Detroit Auto Show, and the guy there says, you know, people are asking me, where's Mercedes having their party and where is, you know, Volkswagen? He's like, I don't know. If they were at the auto show, I'd be telling you, here's the space, but they're doing them off site. So kind of think it was a pie in the face, if you wanted the truth, to the auto show themselves.
And I agree. And, you know, a lot of these things were invitation only. Volkswagen was invitation only and Mercedes was invitation only, and Chevrolet was invitation only. So if you didn't get invited, you know, I think that had a lot to do with a lot of the foreign journalists, because let's face it, there's a lot of people at the auto show that don't belong there. And I think, you know, we've been talking about this for years, where you go to get a seat as a journalist and all the chairs are gone. They're taken up by every other monkey that's there that isn't belonging there. You see this afterwards.
All right, hold it. Let me clarify when she's talking about people that don't belong there. They have this thing called Media Days, which is while the displays are being set up for the automakers for the general public, they have these couple of days that you have to have credentials, and it's like Fort Knox. And then actually the auto manufacturers, the presidents of this, that, and the other auto manufacturers are there, and they have this kind of grand to-do about, you know, here's what we're going to show the general public. But they give us journalists a couple of days. So when she's talking about all the monkeys, she's not talking about you guys out there. She's only talking about the monkeys that are other journalists, from the flying monkeys from all over the rest of the world. Is that fair?
Well, I'm not talking about journalists. I'm talking about the non-journalists. I'm not talking about the public. Absolutely. The public.
Right.
I would rather have the public there.
You're talking about the bloggers? Bloggers?
No, I'm talking about the people who are like move-in people.
Oh.
And people who are there to measure cars, that they're from the other manufacturers, but they're not journalists. So seriously, you can go there and see them. They're crawling under people's cars.
Right.
We're trying to get photos and they're trying to take measurements.
I love it. It's crazy. All the monkeys.
They are.
I was like, who is she calling the monkeys? I'm going to take a break. That's funny. Okay, we're going to talk about the Detroit Auto Show and what else we saw there. This is The Drive. I guess I consider myself a flying monkey from The Wizard of Oz. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
While you're listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manuals, the information resource for the DIY enthusiast, and they're the worldwide leader in automotive and motorcycle repair information for over 50 years. They also have videos so you can learn by watching or you can turn the pages and do it right the first time with a proper Haynes manual. HAYNES.com, HAYNES.com, Haynes. I'm talking with BJ Colleen about the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. A little odd this year, we must say. And that was really funny in the last segment there with the monkeys, I have to admit, BJ.
You're so funny.
Well, I just...
You know the monkeys I'm talking about, the guys with the gray badges. Which, that are just there to measure the other competitors' cars. It's atrocious.
All right, now, while we were there, we did get to find out about the North American Car of the Year. The last time we talked to everybody, I think there was a lot of people hoping that out of the three cars for Car of the Year, which was Honda Accord, Kia Stinger, what was the third one? I can't remember.
The Avalon, Toyota Avalon.
Toyota Avalon. That a lot
of
people,
Camry.
That they were thinking, I think it was the Camry. But anyway, I think there were a lot of people were hoping it would be the Kia Stinger because it's such an awesome machine. But look at they're all awesome. But the Honda Accord is what ended up winning.
And I understand that. I mean, the Honda Accord is a tradition. It's been around forever. The new design is nice. The car drives wonderfully. It's going to be bought by 500,000 people. You know, so it's a very deserving award. But the Kia Stinger is just unique, and it's something special for Kia. And I think it kind of stands more for the company. It's like the complete redo of what the brand is all about. So I feel bad that the Kia Stinger didn't win, but I'm happy that the Honda Accord won, too. So I think that's good news. So the big news is Truck of the Year, which is interesting because the SUV of the year was the Volvo XC60, which you and I both love. We think it's a great vehicle. But the Truck of the Year is actually an SUV. The Lincoln Navigator won Truck of the Year, which it probably should have been in the SUV category, but who knows how they break these categories apart. But the fact that the Lincoln Navigator won an award from North American Jurist is a big deal for Lincoln.
You know what? And I went down and looked at it and sat in it. And, of course, you've driven it. I have not. I got to say, they just did a beautiful job. I mean, you just sit there and go, wow, you know?
It really is very futuristic. I mean, there's nothing else that looks like it. They got a piano key shifter, and they've got the drive mode dials that actually shows an animation on the screen. And if you haven't seen the new Navigator, even if you're not in the market for one, just go down to the Lincoln dealership and check it out because you'll be blown away by what Lincoln is doing. And I'm really glad that they won this award, and I know they're all really happy. It's kind of funny, though, the award they thought was bigger. So if you're at the Detroit Auto Show and you look in the case, you'll see it's a really big case and the award's kind of small. So they're thinking, wow, we thought the award was going to be bigger, but it's still a very nice award to have. So,
well, then the SUV of the Year award from the North American International Auto Show, the what do they call that? The North American Car Truck
International.
Yeah. But it's
SUV of the year, yeah.
Right. So it's funny because the Lincoln is an SUV, but they actually considered it a truck because it's a body-on-frame, you know, construction. But for SUV, the actual winner was the Volvo XC60, which, you know, hats off to them. They did a fantastic job. They've done a fantastic job on every one of their vehicles since the company kind of has been reborn. I don't know, it's been 4 or 5 years ago with all these brand new products. But XC60 is the winner. What do you think of that?
I love the XC60. I think they did a beautiful job with it. It rides really nicely. You know, it's got that almost that tablet setup for the instruments in the center console with all your information, your infotainment on it. Again, it's a beautiful car. They've got beautiful interiors. I mean, I like they have these light blonde wood, very Scandinavian in the design feel. And it's just very elegant, and I think it's a deserving award as well. So for once, I actually agree with all three of the awards.
I was just surprised that they put the Lincoln Navigator in the truck category because when you say truck, you think pickup truck with a bed. But I get it. There's so many SUVs right now that it would be hard to put a perhaps a $50,000 SUV up against what's going to be probably $90,000 Lincoln Navigator. But then again, I mean, I've seen it done. They vehicles like that have won. I mean, look at the Maserati and the Alfa Romeos. Those are $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000. So let's take a break. We'll come back with more discussion about the auto industry. You're listening to The Drive all across America and around the world because of the interweb. I'm Alan Taylor with BJ Killeen. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Craftsman is celebrating over 90 years of innovation. Since 1927, they've put hardworking tools into the hands of makers and mechanics. I've had Craftsman tools in my garage for decades, so I know firsthand that Craftsman comprehensive automotive tools and garage storage solutions will help you tackle your next project with confidence, whether you be a shade tree mechanic or a certified pro. So visit your local Ace Hardware or check out Craftsman.com to shop the latest hand tools, power tools, lawn and garden equipment, smart products, storage solutions, and a whole lot more. That's Craftsman.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Dodge, domestic, not domesticated. And oh boy. Anyway, I probably talk about my new Dodge Demon too much, so I'll just shut up. BJ Killeen is here.
No.
Hey, by the way, I have to mention this to you. So I got my new Dodge Demon, everybody, and then I had it for 2 days, and I jumped in it and drove it across, let's see, Oregon, California, Nevada, and into Arizona, and literally burning rubber every inch of the way. Well, not, I had to go to the speed limit every now and then. But anyway, anytime I could, I'm doing a donut or burning out for somebody or just having fun in parking lots and kind of closed course kind of situations. And but at a certain point, because there was a Dodge Demon that went across the block at Barrett Jackson. Did you see that, by the way, BJ?
Yes, I did.
And so with fees, here's a car that costs already, you know, I mean, look, the Dodge Challenger only costs about $25,000, okay? But if you go and you start upping the ante with engine sizes, you can get, you know, the RTs and the Hellcats and now the Demon. You're talking more than three times. So 25, 50, 75. This one is $89,000 window sticker. Carl's, by the way, my friend Carl Brower, his was $91,000 window sticker. If you can find one for 10 grand over, which would put it into the $100,000 bracket, you would be wise to buy it because at Barrett Jackson, with the fees, one sold for $159,500.
Yeah, we saw that and I went, Alan's price of his vehicle just went up tremendously.
Right. There was another auction
were you
also.
Sell it?
No, I'm not going to sell it. Another one also brought similar money. So we're talking, here is a crazy, this platform is what, 10 years old? You know, this is an old platform that Dodge, Tim Kaniskis, the president of passenger cars, and Dodge and FCA were brilliant. They take this old platform and they go, before we say goodbye to this platform, which is, believe it or not, the E-Class, when it was Daimler Chrysler, this is an E-Class platform that they borrowed to make this car, they said, let's make something that is purely evil and call it the Demon, which, you know, they made a Demon back in the day. So, but, I mean, they literally have freaked everybody out, and they took an old platform and reinvented it, which I think is pure brilliant. Anyone that has driven it, if you go to autotrader.com, Carl's car was used in a test drive. Did you watch that video, by the way, at autotrader.com?
No, I didn't. He let somebody use his car?
Well, he was with him, but the guy that, you know, the guy gets like a million views in like 2 days on these videos he does at autotrader.com. It's also at kellybluebook.com because our buddy Carl is the, he's like the publisher of Autotrader, Kelly Blue Book, and dealer.com. Anyway, he bought one also. This guy's face says it all. Here's a guy that's driven everything. When you watch this video and the guy accelerates with that 808 horsepower, because without having race fuel, it doesn't get to 840, his face says it all. He's like, oh, my gosh. And that's exactly what happens. So, yes, I've had fun with it, but they wouldn't let me say, you know, my Dodge Demon anymore on stage after 2 days. I was on stage 6 days. So I had a sign made that said, Dodge Demon, the logo, and my 00008, since that's what mine was. And they just, everybody was laughing because I couldn't say it anymore, but I just held it up whenever I wanted to talk about it.
They wouldn't let you say it anymore?
They're like, stop saying the damn Demon. It's just enough, you know? It's enough. It's enough with the dang Demon. And I'm like, all right, but you know, it's relevant.
You know what it is, though, is the fact that somebody doing something different with a car, you know? It's not the same old boring thing. And that's part of the reason why, and as soon as I hang up with you, Alan, I'm heading over to L.A. to go to the Grand National Roadster Show,
right,
where they hand out the America's Most Beautiful Roadster. And I like going to that show because you see different cars.
Yep.
You know, you don't see the same old thing. And these builders have great creativity, and they're doing unique things. And it's just nice that, you know, people are tending to go more toward the hot rods like the Dodge Demon is because it's something different.
Yeah.
As we fade into autonomous vehicles, we're starting to lose the personalities. And the Dodge Demon is anything but a lost personality. It's crazy.
Well,
and so I understand the love affair.
I drove it, you know, I've got 3,000 miles on it. It's 3 weeks old and 20 miles to the gallon, pretty much average, which is amazing out of an 840 horsepower machine that'll do what it does. Very, very comfortable. I can't say enough good about this car. Hell yes, I wish it was less money. Hell yes, I wish they made more of them so you could all experience it. And hell yes, I'm glad that they don't because I have a low number. And, you know, but I got to say, man, I hope that the automakers, they've been teasing, Ford has been teasing the new Mustang GT500, and they're saying 700 plus horsepower. And I had Rajner on the show at Barrett Jackson. I said, can you give us a hint? And he goes, I could, but I'd have to kill you. He says, let me tell you. And he goes, it'll be very impressive. But I'm wondering if they're going to actually lie and have it be in the 800 range, which will be very interesting. I don't think they will, but, you know.
I think that they can sandbag. You know, I was told a long time ago that the EcoBoost engine that Ford puts out, their turbocharged engines, can probably make up to 800 horsepower of a four-cylinder.
Right.
So I know that they've got the capability to do it.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they want to go racing with them and things like that. It's just that I think the insurance companies would probably have a regular heart attack if somebody, you know, came out with something like that. So we'll see what happens.
See. We shall see. Well, girl, you know what? You know what this music means, right?
Yes.
Time for you to beat it.
I know. I get it. I understand.
Dear, it's BJ Colleen, everybody. The best. She's going to go out to the Roadster Show. I'm Alan Taylor. There is more to come. We'll be back after the break. Thank you, BJ.
See you soon.
See you in a bit.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck? Or a leash. Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485 horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, I just spent an entire week at Barrett Jackson. I was doing symposiums every morning, and then I would jump on the stage at about noon and stay there till about 8 p.m. So my days were long. The only guy I think that had longer days than me were a few of the guys that are the Barrett Jackson experts, one of which was on one of the panels that had to do with matching numbers. And I thought, you know, this is so darn interesting. Dave Weiss is joining us. He is a managing partner for MMC Detroit and Weiss Vehicle Inspection Reports. But the list of stuff that you have done, Dave, I'm looking at it. It's like, OMG, MMC Detroit. That was supposed to be funny. Anyway, author of 15 reference manuals related to vehicle valuation, vehicle restoration, and all that type of stuff. And you know, I understand some of these are like 3,000 pages.
Yeah, they've grown through the years. It's been a document that's been a passion of mine to try to guide along the hobbyists, the professionals, the semi-professionals with their restoration projects.
Jeez. Your resume is extremely impressive. You have emceed or judged at so many different, you know, Mopar Nationals, Chrysler's at Carlisle, Mopar's at the Strip, World National Car Show, Chrysler Employee Association Car Show, Eyes on Design Annual Car Show. The list is like insane. And you've been doing this stuff for 25 plus years. Very impressive. But what impressed me more is I had him on my panel, you guys, and it's like, this was really fun. So there was a Dodge Demon, and we've been talking about that a little bit because that's obviously fresh on my plate right now. And so I said to Dave, I heard that he had taken some pictures of this Dodge Demon. And, of course, I thought, well, I took some pictures of mine. How many pictures did you take that day?
Well, you know, we actually ended up taking 3,000 pictures.
How do you take 3,000 pictures? It's just crazy. You know, it took like 20. You know,
this is an opportunity that a vehicle came in the wrapper,
right?
4 miles on it. It was a car that was being transacted from one owner to, prospective auction winner. And I thought, how frequently do you have the opportunity to have your hands on something that original that I believe that maybe there is, but I don't think anybody's ever documented a Demon to the level that I documented the one that I looked at the show.
Why couldn't you have done mine that way? It was there.
Well, you told me what you were doing with yours, Alan. You were using it. So I was looking for something that wasn't being used.
No, I understand. It was literally, like you said, it was still all the wrappers were on it all over the place. And mine was literally, we call mine the Dirty Demon. It's 3 weeks old. It's got 3,000 miles on it. It has not been washed yet. It's gone across 7 states. It is filthy. And everybody looks at it and goes, what are you doing? And I go, I'm using it. And
yeah,
I'm going to drive the hell out of this Demon because it's got hell in it. Let's talk about this. We've got a little bit of time. For those that have heard the term matching numbers, Dave gave an incredible talk at our symposium at Barrett-Jackson and very detailed. And this is one of those things that you folks out there, when you hear this term, you better record this. Of course, it'll be on the podcast for later. But Dave is going to give you some advice on how to make sure that you truly do get a vehicle that is matching numbers. And is there such a thing? So, Dave, why don't you just let you take it from there?
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, Alan. The first thing that you have to do is, I think, when you're going to purchase a vehicle, is try to understand what your strategy is in purchasing it. Is it for investment, which it could be investments, buying the right vehicle? Is it just for pleasure? Are you looking for something to go to the local fast food joint, or are you looking to enter it in national shows, or are you potentially looking to improve it and then move it off to somebody else? So what's critical is a lot of people, typically, they believe what numbers matching is, does the title match the VIN tag? For sure. They look at that, okay, that matches. But it goes beyond that. As you start to peel the onion back, there are confidential VINs that were put in by the automobile manufacturer basically to protect vehicles against theft or used in theft recovery. So as you start to extend that out, the numbers matching could be the confidential VINs match the body, match the VIN tag that matches the title. And a lot of people, that's all they care about. When it gets into the value of a vehicle, that's when you have to look a little deeper. Take a look at, what does the engine VIN number match the VIN tag? Then there is on a lot of Mopars, there's a trim tag that's under the hood, and it's the option trim tag that includes all the options that were, not all the options, but the majority of the options that had to be configured in the body shop. They would be stamped into that tag. So you would want to match those up. Well, then what we do, we continue to peel that onion back further. Just because you have the numbers matching engine and maybe the numbers matching transmission, I always look for other telltale signs to double check that those numbers are correct. For example, on a 1970 Hemi engine, there is a engine number, there is a serial number on the bottom of the oil pan rail. That's near the starter, and you can look at it, it's easy to see. That number has a meaning. When you look at it, it's a little Greek. It's, there's 16 characters there. And then I have a list of where those numbers fall relative to the engine VIN number. So if the engine VIN number is, 12345, so to speak, I know that serial number on the bottom of the engine has to fall within a certain a certain range that I've collected, you know, over, you know, probably the better part of 30 years documenting these vehicles, that it should fall within a range. So that's how I double check something as simple as the engine.
Hmm. And it's so funny because when you were on stage and you had, of course, more time to do this, we have a limited amount of time. He had so many different types of serial number plates and tags and things that were hidden all around this car, and serial numbers here and there and everywhere. And I think the average Joe car guy has no idea whatsoever when he says it's got matching serial numbers or, you know, matching VINs or whatever. It's just like, it's like you must laugh when you hear that. That's all I can say. You know?
Well, yeah, because it all depends what your definition of numbers matching is.
Right.
You know,
right.
A lot of people distill it down to the most common items, such as, does your distributor, is it the right distributor in your car? Is it the right carburetor in your car?
Ugh.
So the purist, when we get into, you know, OE or original equipment, or UROE, unrestored original equipment, you know, we look at such minute details. You know, was the color of the spring in the carburetor proper? Did it have the right identification stripe? And it goes on and on and on. And that just, I mean, all the way down to valve stems.
Oh, God. All right, well, the question is, and we have Dave Weiss going to help us with this, matching numbers. You know, what is this? And we're learning that right now. There are various thoughts on what it means. When did all this start? And what does it mean to the value of your classic or collector car right up to my Demon today? So, you know, this is a good learning for us all. We'll take a little break, come back more here on The Drive with Dave Weiss, Mopar expert. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Well, if you're just joining us, I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive, our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. My new Demon has Brembo Brakes from the factory. We're talking right now about the whole thing about number matching cars. What does it mean? The various thoughts on really what it does mean and what it means to the value of your car. Question again for first question back from the commercial break. David Weiss, managing partner, MMC Detroit. .com. That's where you can find them. I'll give that out a couple times. Dave, when did this all start, the whole matching numbers thing?
Well, you know, it's always been in a hobby, and it's predominantly focused on the performance cars. The Corvettes, the Mustangs, the Hemi Cudas, things of that sort. Everybody wants to believe they have a numbers matching vehicle. So what they do is they take it into these various judging programs, and they run it through, and they try to score, whether it's a Duntoff Award, whether it's a Mopar, or the Chrysler at Carlisle has a fantastic OE judging system in which I participate in, and I'm one of the lead judges there. But, you know, it goes back even further. You know, I'm always contacted by law enforcement that there's somebody that has a rat rod. They found a frame or whatever laying in a field somewhere. And what they're interested in doing is they're interested in bringing it back and putting an engine in it. Well, lo and behold, what they find out in many times is that it's challenging to VIN that car or the law enforcement to VIN the car because there is identification marks or identification numbers on the frames of those vehicles. And a lot of times, depending on how early we're talking about, the 20s or 30s or going back to the teens, when there were coach builders, they would sometimes match up the frame with the engine.
Mm.
So that frame number was not necessarily a VIN number, it was the engine number.
Oh my gosh, right?
And then as time progressed and the coach builders started to you know, by the 50s, the coach builders, or even by the 40s, some of the coach builders started to fall out and they were consolidating. Some of the coach builders, like Briggs, for example, was acquired by Chrysler. So consequently, Briggs stopped putting their own number on the cars and started to use Chrysler numbers.
Oh, boy.
So there was many vehicles that I see, whether they're at, you know, this recently in the Vegas show for Barrett Jackson.
Right.
There was a 1940 Plymouth. That 1940 Plymouth had the VIN number on the frame, had a partial VIN number on the engine, had a partial VIN number on the body, and then it had its actual VIN tag in place. So there's an example of a 1940 Plymouth vehicle that has virtually the same type of configuration when we're looking at numbers matching as, say, 1971 Hemi Cuda would.
Well, you know, here's my question for you. People can, if they want to spend a lot of money on a car and they're wise, they can talk to David Wise. There, I just worked that in. And get a Wise vehicle inspection report at mmcdetroit.com. How do they get a hold of you as far as, I mean, do they have to send you photos? Do they have to send the car to you? Have you come to the car? What, I mean, when it comes to actually you looking that car over, I mean, I've seen you on your back most of the time under these cars and crawling through them. You know, it's like it's an incredible thing you do. So what is the best way to do that with you?
You know, ideally, it runs the gamut, Alan. Thanks for asking. It could be I could do a photo review. I could do a video review of the car, but the best assurance and insurance plan that anybody could have on their vehicle is a hands-on inspection. And there's multiple ways we can do this. If it's close enough and it makes sense, you could send it to me for sure. A lot of times I'm traveling every week somewhere. I mean, matter of fact, I'm heading down to Florida, heading down to Miami on Saturday to look at a 1970 Charger, Plum Crazy RT. It's supposed to be numbers matching for a client of mine in Pennsylvania. Mm. So there's an example that I'll go through that vehicle.
Well, that would be an expensive car. I mean, lots and lots of money. So, I mean, I get that you would go straight to it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of other, it runs the gamut. I mean, this goes all the way from estate settlements to maybe a husband or wife or a spouse has passed away, and,
right,
and they want to make sure what they have before the car goes into probate.
See,
or whatever, and
very
I work with law enforcement.
Or before they send it to auction, because if they pay you whatever little money it is going to be for that, it could mean thousands and thousands of dollars as part of the provenance, you might say, of that vehicle, because you are going to bring a lot of information to the table that will help them get the top dollar out of that car or help them prove the value through insurance or any of these reasons. All right, Dave Wise, I know it's not Wise, but it is wise to work with Wise. We're going to have one more segment with you, Dave. The website, again, is mmcdetroit.com. If you're into Mopars, that is Dave. I am into Mopars now. I don't know how it happened. I would have told you 5 years ago, never in my life, until the vehicles they have today. And I've got both of them, the Viper ACR and the Dodge Demon. And yes, I'm middle-aged crazy. That's probably why you laugh when I talk about the burnouts I do and stuff, because I don't care if they arrest me. I think it will be fun. I haven't experienced that yet. We'll be right back, everybody. Alan Taylor here, and I wanted to share the news with you about the new Haynes Manuals Online. They're the worldwide leader in vehicle repair information, and they now offer online manuals that are formatted to fit all electronic devices. With Haynes Manuals Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual, but with so many added features that help you get the job done right. I ordered one for my car and access it right through my tablet. There are now over 180 Haynes Manuals Online available, covering cars, trucks, and motorcycles. You can order yours today at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So, one of the Barrett Jackson experts that I get to work with, an incredible man, a dear friend of mine, David Wise, managing partner, MMC Detroit, mmcdetroit.com on the web, a Mopar expert. So, for Barrett Jackson, he is the Mopar expert. We've been talking about matching numbers, and what does it mean? How do you find it? OMG. All I can tell you is it is so much more information than we could do justice to in the 30 minutes roughly that we've had, you know, here together, or going to have anyway. We've got about 5 minutes left. The question I have, once somebody determines that they may actually have, through perhaps ordering one of your Weiss vehicle inspection reports, all of a sudden that could have a tremendous effect on the value. What does it really affect? I mean, if I find out, okay, well, it's not matching numbers, but I still have a blank, fill in the blanks, whatever it is, it's still a valuable car. A lot of these cars were raced. I mean, I have a Dodge Demon. People are going to race those. They may blow up the engines 10 years from now after warranty's out. I have 96 months before mine wears out. But anyway, if that engine blew up, put a rod through the side, it's gone, we got to put a new engine, it'll always still be a Demon. So just maybe you could give us a minute or two on the value of a matching numbers car, and does it really have a huge difference or not so much? So answer that.
Sure. You know, it really depends. That's a great question. It really depends on the type of car you have. If you have a high production, common, sort of a fleet car, if you look at a, you know, just pick a 2018 Dodge Charger. I mean, it's a fleet car. You rent them at the airports. There's, right. You know, they build hundreds of thousands of them. So if you wind that back in the day, if you have a standard high production vehicle, numbers matching typically isn't all that important. It certainly is, but it doesn't impugn the value as much as a, let's say, a rare, desired, sought after car like a Hemi Cuda, a Hemi Challenger, a 440 six pack, a 383, any of the performance brands, the RTs, because like you had mentioned, Alan, it's a great point. If you were fortunate enough to have that engine survive, that's a monumental achievement in itself.
Right.
So consequently, it all depends. Engine, axle, transmission, there's numbers on everything. But, you know, it could mean the difference of an easy car to sell, a hard car to sell. It could be the difference of, you know, depending on the, you know, if you, let's take a 71 Hemi Cuda convertible.
Mm,
you know, those are
money.
$6 million cars.
Right.
So it could go from a $6 million car to a $7 million car because you have a numbers-matching engine.
What in the world? $6 million for a Hemi Cuda convertible. It's like, I mean, a lot of people are like, what did he just say? Yes. These are some of the most valuable muscle cars, period. So it's, wow, man. I just love it.
So that's the stuff that it really depends on the car. And I can certainly help you with that. And I always encourage anybody before you buy a car, you know, if we're just going to have a consultation quickly, hey, I'm looking at something, I don't charge anything for that. You know, until I really start have to lift the phone, get out of my seat, go do something, my calls are free. I love
wow.
talking to people. You know, I get as much from the information that people share with me as they get out of what I share with them. So I look
right.
at it as a reciprocal relationship.
Well,
so certainly, once we have to go out and start spending some money, you know, then we go through and get into the negotiation of what their objective is, and then we come up with a reasonable fee. And if you talk to any of my clients, you know, our fees are very, very reasonable. And every one of my clients has stated time and time again that the small amount of money that they paid was a great insurance policy, and it yields them back that value in their car 10 to 20%.
Well, you have enriched my life, my friend, in many ways, and your friendship has been one of them. And all I can say is that I give my personal stamp of approval to the good-natured man that you guys just got done hearing, David Weiss, managing partner, mmcdetroit.com, mmcdetroit.com. If you've got a Mopar or know somebody that does, write it down. I'm going to say it again, mmcdetroit.com. This man will save your bacon. And David Weiss, thank you so much. Let's do this again. Let's break it down and find some little fun things to talk about, like factoids. We'll do some trivia on it or something, all right?
That sounds great. I'd love it.
All right, David Weiss. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. You know what? I'm going to go out and do a burnout. I think it's only appropriate. I have a Dodge Demon. Yes, Yes, I do. I don't care if you're sick and tired of hearing about it. I'm going to go do it right now. Goodbye. See you next week.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time, all while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru Subaru.